presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of ground to cover on today's show. We'll do some of this later on with Chip Towers. We'll do a little bit off the top with you and me here, though. Let me begin with what I thought was good news for Georgia last night. As one of those juniors who had a chance to try his hand at the NFL, has decided to return to school. J.R. Reed, the outstanding Bulldog safety, who has been a pleasant surprise for the entirety of his Bulldogs career, let it be known on social media last night that he is coming back for more in 2019 for the Bulldogs. I think we've got this that we can show to you of Reed's message here. He says, after talking with my family and Coach Smart, I've decided to come back to the University of Georgia for my last chapter, my last year of eligibility. Championship season, he says. Eat green. Which I kind of like there as well from J.R. Reed. And I mentioned this before, that Reed has been one of these guys who's been a really pleasant surprise at Georgia. Y'all know I'm infatuated with 4- and 5-star players, top 100 players in the country. I love it when Georgia brings in these big bold print names that we've all been following on the recruiting trail. But when you look at the really great players in college football, they are not always with that kind of background. They don't always have that kind of resume as a recruit. J.R. Reed's a perfect example of this. He seemed like kind of an also-ran, afterthought addition to the program when he transferred from Tulsa. He has come to find out on the field been a much better player than that, and he is also the surprise that has a way of keeping on surprising, because I had a chance to spend some time with Reed post-game Sugar Bowl last week in New Orleans, and that was not a good day for the Georgia program. Everybody knows that, acknowledges that at this point in time. That's probably water under the bridge. But in the midst of that bad moment for Georgia, boy, you really found yourself, when Reed was talking, you found yourself gravitating a little closer to him. You found yourself leaning in a little bit more. Because come to find out, in addition to being a very good football player, J.R. Reed's also a bit of a leader as well. Now, I'm going to invite you to go back and check out last, I guess it would have been Wednesday's edition of Dog Nation Daily for the full interview with J.R. Reed. But here's a little taste from Reed that I think is important to bring up. Why he has returned in 2019 matters both on and off the field. You know, I asked him the question about, you know, playing for the SEC pride and the way the nation's going to kind of criticize Georgia when it lays an egg against Texas. And Reed took that question head on and talked about, for him, what matters more than anything else. And regardless of whether or not you agree with everything that he says here, his own personal beliefs about this, his own inner drive when it comes to this, are the kind of things that really set himself up to be a terrific leader for Georgia in his final season of 2019. Here's a little taste of J.R. Reed and a perfect example of why it's a good thing that Reed's coming back. Take a listen.
We played for the G and we played for our seniors today, and we couldn't get the win for those guys, you know, and that's really sad for us. You know, we really wanted to win for those guys, but we don't play for the SEC and all the other hype stuff, and we don't care about that. We play for this right here and those guys in the locker room that won't be able to play ever again for Georgia.
Yeah, so listen, I think that in itself is not the most revealing clip in the world, but it is certainly, you know, symbolic of the overall feeling that Reed seems to have. When he says, we play for this right here, this is obviously audio, you can't see, but Reed is pointing to the G on the center of the collar of the Bulldogs uniform. He's pointing to that G and say, we play for this right here. What better attitude and idea for a senior leader to have than that going into 2019? That we're not playing for SEC pride, and we're not playing for our NFL futures. We're not playing for any of that kind of stuff. We are playing for the G. We are showing our commitment to the G by how we perform next season on the field. I think that sets up Reed for both a really good year on and off the field. That in itself is good news. Georgia also got a bit of good news as well when Rodrigo Blankenship, the kicker, also decided to return. He put this out there on social media too. And before you kind of gloss over that as a foregone conclusion, that is not necessarily a foregone conclusion when it comes to a Blankenship. He says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. He says, hashtag unfinished business, hashtag respect the specs. My understanding is Blankenship's actually already gotten his undergraduate degree. So in terms of a scholastic deal here, he didn't have a whole lot left to accomplish in a Georgia uniform, or at least as a Georgia student. And, you know, given the If you watch the NFL playoffs, you know this is true. Given the erratic state of NFL kickers, Blankenship's going to have a shot in an NFL training camp the moment he moves on to the professional ranks. So it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that Blankenship was returning, but now he is, and I think that's also a very good piece of good news, especially given the fact that when it comes to place kicker, Georgia, there is not necessarily an heir apparent waiting in the wing. So Blankenship Reed provide the Dogs with a much-needed dose of good news. Now, let me transition here for a moment to the guys who are leaving, and I hope you got a chance to read my piece at DogNation.com from the weekend. I did a by-the-numbers piece on this where I tried to, as objectively and analytically as possible, make my case why, you know, Elijah Holyfield and Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley and Isaac Nada, their departures from Georgia are not the end of the world. Even though there's a lot of panic peddling seemingly in the media about this, there's a lot of, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, and you know, Georgia fans be afraid, Georgia fans be scared. I tried to lay it out in kind of cold, hard facts why that when you try to play at the elite level of college football, when you try to swim in waters as deeply as the ones that Georgia's trying to swim in, that this is just the kind of thing that sort of happens from time to time when it comes to stuff like that. So, we made our case on that. Hopefully you get a chance to read that. We'll talk more to a Chip Towers about that coming up in a little bit. But as far as the decisions themselves, I did notice this from Walter Football. Walter Football is one of those draft sites that kind of covers all of this from the angle of the NFL draft. And, you know, they did a pretty good job of putting out some grades for how all of the juniors, not just the Georgia guys, but all the guys that have moved on to the NFL draft, how the draft community is viewing those decisions. If you're watching on video, I'm going to throw this up on the screen. And if you're listening on the radio or the podcast, I'm going to give this to you. Walter Football, who's a pretty plugged in draft side, did not give great grades to the Georgia players that had a decision to leave. Elijah Holyfield got the best overall grade. His decision, according to Walter Football, was a B+. In other words, him leaving Georgia to the NFL draft, they think that's a pretty good decision. The two wide receivers, Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley, they were only given C grades for their decision to leave. The big thing on Ridley, according to Walter Football, is they believe had he come back for next season, his final year in a Georgia uniform, that he could have been a first-round pick in the 2020 draft. The honest truth is I don't know about that. I mean, first-round picks are really hard to come by when it comes to the wide receiver position. Maybe Ridley could have grown into that role. I'm not quite so sure I agree with that. The one that I disagree with the most, though, is they gave Isaac Nada a D for his decision to leave Georgia early and move on to the NFL draft. Now, I would have loved it if any of these guys had chosen to come back to UGA. They're all really good players. They would have all really been nice things to have in a Georgia uniform there for the 2019 season. I've been happy about that. But this idea that Isaac Nada, by leaving as a junior, has put himself at a risk of not even being drafted at all, Walter Football says no one's been watching film on Nada. They're not going to have enough time to get caught up on him. I simply don't believe that. I don't believe that's true. I think that Isaac Nada is one of those guys, while he's not a giant force in the blocking game as a tight end, he's certainly proven himself to be a pretty capable route runner, probably hasn't caught as many passes as Georgia fans would have liked. But in the NFL, I've always believed, and I've said this many times before, that he'll end up catching a lot more passes at the NFL level than he has at the college level. And you better believe, given Nada's athleticism, you better believe that NFL teams should be paying close attention to that. I think that Nada and all these guys will do Georgia proud when they move on to the NFL. But the other thing about this, and I want to at least make sure we spend a little bit of time off the top of the program making mention of at least one area in which some of this stuff does impact Georgia a little bit negatively. Ultimately, on the field for 2019, I don't think that's that big of an issue. But how it impacted Georgia recruiting, especially during the month of December, I do think you have to bring that up. And I don't know if anybody's at fault here. I don't know if anybody's to blame. I will admit that Dog Nation has been a bit on edge lately, and so I think there's a natural tendency for us to all get our tinfoil hats out when it comes to stuff like this. But the overall, narrative of how the Elijah Holyfield decision has unfolded has probably been a little bit of a negative for Georgia. And you can, look at some of the things that elite recruits have said about this as an example of that. Go back to, well before the December early signing day date, one of the things that a four-star running back Noah Cain said made Georgia attractive to him was that he had heard a Georgia running back was leaving. Now, the presumption here is that was Holyfield. At one point in time, the message was out that Holyfield was going to go to the NFL draft. Then you sort of fast forward to December the 19th, and according once again to Kane, who spoke to Dog Nation after the early signing period, that the uncertain status of Holyfield is one of the things that scared him away from Georgia and probably scared Trey Sanders away from Georgia as well, to the extent that Kane can even speak for his high school teammate Sanders. At the same time, you've got some published reports out there that said that Holyfield was leaning in the direction of returning to Georgia. Now, how does that reconcile the actual decision, which was Holyfield's moving on to the NFL, and the draft community seems to be taking that as a good piece of news that Holyfield is indeed doing that? Something about that just doesn't quite feel right here. It's almost as if, you know, is there something that Georgia could have done to get the full message out that, yes, indeed, Elijah Holyfield is going to the NFL draft? Or is this an example of Georgia just being extra forthright and extra honest? That on the day it was time to sign letters of intent back on December 19th, Georgia didn't know then what Elijah Holyfield was going to do. And Georgia took to take a more honest approach with Kane and Sanders and the other running backs, as opposed to some schools who seemingly want to pretend they haven't been recruiting anybody, or seemingly want to pretend they haven't been talking to anybody else at a certain position, Ohio State. You know, maybe in this case, this is just Georgia being a little more honest and forthright. Either way, the uncertain status of Holyfield's decision at the time would have seemed to potentially negatively impacted Georgia's 2019 signing class. The overall bottom line is, in terms of an impact on the field, I don't think Georgia fans are going to see that. Juniors going early to the draft is just a natural byproduct of programs that recruit at the level that Georgia does. The real issue is, what do you do to replace the talent that's departing? Do you have potential NFL guys coming into the program? If you do, and Georgia does, then when it comes to the on-field results, you shouldn't have much to worry about. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us today, live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're on the radio at noon as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being with our friends there in the Classic City. And we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever you can find podcasts, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player for the Android devices, or the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just really glad to have you with us as we do Dog Nation Daily here today. And if you watch the show on video, or if you listen during the podcast, and you've never had a chance to meet us in person, we'd love to give you a chance to do that tomorrow night. Because as I record this on a Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday, is a gigantic day for Dog Nation as we return to our countdown to signing day events at Marlowe's Tavern. And tomorrow night, we're going to be at one of our favorite tavern locations. For those of you in the Dunwoody area, or for those of you that can get to Dunwoody by tomorrow night, 6 p.m., this is one you're not going to want to miss. As we head towards the February signing day and the culmination of Georgia's 2019 class, it's all going to be going down from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. Let me see that address one more time so I can read this for our audio audience. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway in Dunwoody. Myself, Jeff Sintel. As I've said before, Jeff is really good at these kinds of events. Off air, the private conversation, we'll do a Q&A kind of around the room there that night. Jeff is really good about giving some inside stuff, some stuff that he can't write yet, some stuff that he may not feel comfortable saying on Dog Nation Daily yet, or before the hedges when he joins us on these broadcasts. Some of that stuff he'll give you, the kind of the latest rumor and innuendo, so you want to be in the room there that night to get that. And I have been told, and I apologize for not being able to fully make this announcement yet, but I have been told we have a very special guest potentially on hand for us tomorrow night. So please be a part of all of that with Dog Nation tomorrow night. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, before we bring on Chip Towers, let me go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Pella Window and Door, as we look a little more deeply at some of the stuff going on. And, you know, this has been a time of rumors. This has been a time of I think, a lot of nervous tension among Georgia fans with, you know, recruits coming and going, with, you know, the Sugar Bowl loss. And when it comes to potential big news here, it's not necessarily all over yet, because, you know, you may have read Chip Towers, who mentioned over the weekend the possibility that Jim Chaney could be involved in rumors here. Tennessee still looking for an offensive coordinator. Chip touched on that at Dog Nation the other day. Now kind of following up on that is Jimmy Himes, a guy that knows the Tennessee program really well, longtime reporter there, now works as a radio host in WNML, one of the big sports radio stations in Knoxville. He wrote on his station's website a pretty deep kind of investigation into what Tennessee may be viewing when it comes to Jim Chaney right now. Let me read to you from Jimmy Himes here as a part of Around the Doghouse presented by Pella Window and Door. Jimmy writes, "I think Chaney is hireable," meaning he thinks Tennessee could get Chaney. "I didn't think that in December, but I do think it now. But Pruitt might have to move relatively fast, or Chaney might lose interest." You take that from Jimmy Himes to mean that maybe he believes that Chaney is interested currently in the Tennessee job. He says Chaney enjoyed his time at Tennessee from 2009 to 2012 and would probably like to retire in East Tennessee. That's near Knoxville. A longtime college coach with SEC experience told me Fulmer likes Chaney and Pruitt respects Chaney. The quote here is that Chaney's the best play caller in the SEC, one source told me. Of all the potential hireable candidates, the source says, I think Chaney has the best resume. That's longtime Tennessee reporter Jimmy Himes for WNML. From the Georgia side of this, there has been some confusion out there, and we'll see if Chip Towers can clear some of this up for us in a moment, that Chaney's Georgia contract might have expired. If you want to go back and look at the archives of Dog Nation from a couple of years ago, when Chaney was first hired in 2016, his contract was slated to end in 2018. Now, based on the original terms, it would have concluded when this season concluded, when this 2018 calendar year concluded. But Chaney also got a raise last year. There's a chance that also came with a contract extension. Sometimes these things are a little bit hard to know the absolute truth on when it comes to how contracts evolve over time here. But in terms of kind of a wild ride for Georgia rumors as of late, listen, that is going to certainly continue here into the future with Jim Chaney being a big part of that. Apparently, we'll find out more on that as it becomes available. And oh yeah, by the way, Georgia's still looking for a defensive coordinator as well. So that's Around the Doghouse presented by Pella Window and Door. We're going to have more later on Tyreek Stevenson. For now, though, let's talk to Chip Towers about this and everything else happening around the Georgia program.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let's say hello to Chip Towers, who has been working it hard here in New Orleans. He was in Knoxville for the debacle for the basketball team against Tennessee on Saturday. And now he joins us here on Dog Nation Daily as well. Chip, welcome back to the program. Hope you are doing well today, and I thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, it's great to hang out in beautiful Athens, Georgia for a minute, having not had the opportunity to hang out here much.
No doubt about that. And Athens has been kind of a wild place as of late, with juniors leaving, a couple guys deciding to stay, Georgia still looking for a defensive coordinator. And now you've got this, you know, weird set of circumstances popping up with the Jim Chaney thing. Chip, I was talking about this just before you joined us. I know you alluded to the Chaney rumors in a piece that you wrote at DogNation.com over the weekend. Jimmy Himes up in Knoxville is also talking about some of the same kind of stuff right now. Apparently he's got sources saying that both Pruitt and a Fulmer like Chaney, and apparently, he's alluding to the fact that Chaney may like Tennessee for a few reasons. There's also a lot of belief among fans that Chaney's contract might have expired, given the original terms, as reported by Dog Nation a couple of years ago. How do you process and make sense of all that's out there regarding Jim Chaney right now? Also, given the fact that, like a lot of offensive coordinators are, he's a little bit of a lightning rod for criticism for Georgia fans on top of all of this. What do you make of where things are with Chaney right now?
Well, you know, first off, as you said right there at the end, I mean, you know, Jim Chaney is an offensive coordinator and play caller, and I don't care where you go or who you are, those are lightning rod positions always. I mean, even more than a defensive coordinator, considerably more, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, any play has a 50% chance of working, and that's assuming that it's the play that was initially called, especially in a Georgia system where the quarterback, or certainly a quarterback like Fromm, has the option of checking in or checking out of what's come in. And so you just never can tell on that. And there's a considerable disconnect, as there often is, on, you know, fans' opinions of Jim Chaney, and then football's opinion, you know, the inside football's opinion of Jim Chaney. They're two different things. You know, he's very, very well respected in the coaching community. You know, certainly, I guess it's been 44 days, you know, somewhere in that area since Tennessee has had an offensive coordinator. We're getting about the time, and this alludes to Georgia's defensive coordinator situation. It's really not until after you get through this crush of the new year, the early signing period, and you start bearing down on the coaches' meetings in mid-January that you start to see these positions get filled. And, you know, with Tennessee, it's very understandable why Jim Chaney would be attractive to Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer. He's basically a pro-style guy, a run-oriented guy. Jerry Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt is off the Nick Saban tree. He likes a strong running game and a strong play-action passing game, and Jim Chaney's very good at putting that together for you. Now, the question is, reality. I haven't been able to get in touch with Jim Chaney. Nobody ultimately knows, but Jim Chaney and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer, the level of interest that Jim Chaney may have up there. But certainly, as Jimmy Himes alludes to, there's a lot of dots that connect. You know, Jim Chaney still has some property up that way on the lake. He enjoyed his time in Tennessee. He's sharing offensive coordinator duties now with James Coley. He's always been very complimentary of that working relationship and non-complainant, but he's kind of non-complainant as it is. And yes, there's no indication from a document standpoint right now that Jim Chaney has extended that initial three-year contract he got from Kirby Smart. Now, you got to remember, Jim Chaney was Kirby Smart's very first hire. He got a three-year contract at that time. He got a $100,000 raise last year. So whether he's interested in leaving or not, I don't know. I'm sure he, as anybody in this business, he'd be interested in listening to an offer, because that's not going to do anything but help his situation, whether it be here or there. So that's a situation we're going to be following closely over the next several days.
Can I ask you a process-oriented question about this? How common would it be, not just at Georgia, but in college football in general, for a guy like that to have signed an extension at some point, even when he signed or got the $100,000 raise last year, and the extension not become common knowledge? How common would something like that be?
Oh, it's not real common, but it wouldn't be uncommon with kind of the temperature in the air, you know, around Georgia. I mean, it's just simply not as transparent. Normally there would be an announcement, you know, that a contract had been extended, or you just have to request, make open records requests to find out if anything has happened, and then you may have to wait a considerable amount of time before you hear back.
So let me just do one more quick follow-up on this, and then I want to talk about some other stuff here because there's a lot going on with the Georgia program. It sounds like your belief is very similar to mine, that the overall big picture on Chaney is this is a really good offensive coordinator, at least based on the results of Georgia in totality, but a guy that has disappeared a couple of times. The LSU game this past season comes to mind. The Auburn game maybe in 2017 comes to mind. But the overall picture of what Chaney has done with the Georgia offense is likely something that Kirby's satisfied with as opposed to unsatisfied. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think so. And here's the thing. You have to judge offensive coordinators, on overall production. You have to, okay? And a lot of that has to do, obviously, with the talent at your disposal, but you can't go on games because you're going to get stoned occasionally. I mean, even Alabama gets stoned, by defenses now and then. I mean, I think, you know, they certainly rallied when Jalen Hurts came in, kind of unexpectedly in the SEC championship game. They didn't, that didn't much on offense at all. Does that mean that, Mike Locksley is an awful offensive coordinator and play caller? No, it means, that it schemed up pretty good and got you out of what you're going to do, because the guys on the other side of the other sideline, they're trying to take away whatever you do well, and then it's how you respond to having that taken away if they're successful at doing that. Some teams aren't able to do that, so that's where you get into the cat and mouse of all that. I think overall, Kirby Smart is very satisfied. If you look at Georgia's, it's kind of been quiet, hasn't it? I mean, when you think about what Jake Fromm and Georgia's offense has done, you're averaging. I like the way Chaney put it in the press conference at the Sugar Bowl. He said 39 what is it, 39.2 points a game. When you're clicking at 39.2 points a game, that's pretty good, or whatever. I mean, you're averaging nearly 40 points a game. That is the bottom line, you know, in college football. Are you putting points on the board at a high rate? Yeah, Georgia, very high. You know,
yeah.
Some of the highest in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Obviously, the other big story from Friday was the juniors that decided to leave. Holyfield, Ridley, Hardman, Nada. And I wrote a piece this weekend, Chip, where I tried to lay out the reasons why I think that to a certain extent, this has all been overrated. Not because I don't believe that these four players are really good. They are. But when you look at the wide receiver position, and two of these guys were wide receivers, Ridley and Hardman, Chip, Georgia's had a different leading receiver every year for the last 5 years. The top two receivers over the last 5 years have been seven different names. Other than Terry Godwin, pretty much every top receiver for Georgia over the last half decade is, for the most part, always a different guy. Isn't 2019 just another example of what Georgia has always done, which is seemingly find new receivers each and every year? And to a certain extent, you know, maybe less so with Nada and Holyfield, but the overall picture is not really all that different, that I do feel like a Georgia program right now has enough depth to overcome these departures.
Well, you certainly think so, and you alluded to it right there at the end, but, you know, Nada too. So, I mean, when you've taken, you know, Hardman, Riley, Ridley, and Nada, you know, out of the equation, that's certainly three your best outside threats, your best pass receiving threats, there's no question. But, yeah, this is, you know, all of this is part and parcel of the air that you're breathing right now at this elevation where Georgia is. Now, Georgia's always cranked out players to the NFL and had their share of underclassmen go early as well. It was just a little bit exaggerated this year. But, you know, I don't think that there's any kind of panic within the program. I mean, certainly I think Kirby and his staff are very well aware, probably well before the Sugar Bowl, you know, as to who was going to do what, and they're planning accordingly, whether it be, excuse me, the guys getting elevated that are already on the roster. You're always trying to replace those guys, and that's what Georgia's out there doing, you know, right now, and will be doing up until the next signing period in February. And as you know, there's some unfolding dramas going on now that we should find out about, you know, in the coming days and weeks. So, you know, they're definitely planning for it. I think Georgia has a lot of guys, you know, in the cupboard per se. I mean, you know, look, I don't want to overplay this kid because that's been done so much. But, you know, Demetrius Robertson,
yeah,
is still sitting there. And here's what I know about Demetrius Robertson. You know, he had 700-something yards, seven touchdowns as a freshman at Cal, and he is literally one of the fastest players on the team. So he has all that going for him. Whatever kept him off the field, mainly Mecole Hardman, Terry Godwin, and Riley Ridley kept him off the field. Those guys are out of his way now. He's just one, you know, of a number of players that are waiting to get their opportunity. It's so cliche, but it really is next man up, and I don't have any doubt that, you know, the players that will be in those roles for Georgia next season are going to be capable of filling.
Let me shift gears here for a moment, because there was a Yahoo Sports report over the weekend about the Justin Fields situation at Ohio State, and apparently what happened with Adam Sasser is going to be a big part, at least based on the national media reports here, of Fields' plan to appeal for immediate playing time at Ohio State. And the way that Yahoo Sports laid this out is that what Sasser said made Fields uncomfortable pursuing a baseball career at Georgia. Now, Chip, for a lot of Georgia fans, this is maddening, because there is a belief among Dog fans that if Fields wants to be the starting quarterback at Georgia, he wasn't going to be able to play baseball anyway. And, you know, for a school that apparently was, quote-unquote, dangerous for Fields to be at, as it stands now, his sister is still planning on playing softball at UGA. My question for you is there anything that Georgia can do to fight back the PR game when it comes to the field situation at Ohio State? Or is the wisest course of PR action just to lay low and let this pass? Because it certainly seems like, in terms of the national media reporting on the field story, that there's a lot of just flat-out inaccuracies being, you know, projected here. It probably, I won't, you know, speculate on why, but certainly in terms of the overall, you know, facts on the ground, the national media seems to be taking this thing for a bit of a ride here. Can Georgia do anything to fight back against that?
No, I'm not sure they can. I mean, I agree with it. I think the whole fiasco, the whole Justin Fields transferring deal is a, a negative PR, rap on Georgia. Now that we'll see how that plays out. I mean, I keep hearing from people right and left that Justin Fields is a generational player and you shouldn't have let him get away. I never saw a generational player, which is not at all to say that he's not a generational player. It just wasn't evident to me. One of the funniest things I saw on Twitter was a guy put together a Justin Fields freshman highlight tape, And if you go back and look, he was given a lot of opportunities at Georgia and didn't make a lot of many of them. There's a little bit of little flash against Tennessee and, some stuff against UMass and Austin Peay. But, I mean, so what on that? So, we'll see about all that. But Georgia has taken a hit from a PR standpoint. This is what happens when a guy like Sasser, whatever his ultimate goal was. I mean, I think he's a guy that's just a little bit out of sorts. That's negative. These are the kind of things that happen to it. And look, Georgia fans just have to be Teflon when it comes to the entire narrative that's going to be out there trying to get a eligibility right away. Excuse me for babbling a little bit there, but it's going to be out there, and everybody knows what the reality is. Georgia's not a racial institution in any way, shape, or form. Just the fact that it's not is why everything became public like it did, right? I mean, it's a very liberal institution who takes its students and rights very, very seriously. If Fields uses that to his end on this, I mean, that's what's going on right now. All you need is something, right? Just like Demetrius Robertson needed something to transfer, just like Luke Ford needed something to transfer. I wouldn't ever suggest that what Luke Ford's grandfather's help is like is not authentic. But how am I to know, right? Right now you're just looking to check a box on the NCAA transfer form if that's your desire, and this is a way for Justin Fields to check a box.
Chip, let me do two quick things before we let you go. I want to finish up in a moment with those weird Kirby to the NFL rumors that kind of popped up yesterday. But before that, you did allude to the defensive coordinator situation a few minutes ago. Your best guess, what is the timeline going to be like now on this? There was no real hurry at one point to get this done, and yet now we are starting to see a lot of, coaching movements, go on here. You mentioned the convention that's coming up. If you got a best guess in terms of the timeline by which Kirby Smart's trying to operate here, is it accelerated now, or is this still an opportunity for Smart to be patient if he wants to be?
Well, he can afford to be patient here. Many of these, I would imagine, if I had to guess, it'd be between now and the end of January, or possibly on the other side of National Signing Day. And a lot of that depends on, I mean, if it's a big, flashy hire, right, it'll be before National Signing Day. If it's a possible internal promotion, or somebody that's not going to necessarily move the needle nationally, you might wait till after signing day. That's just the way it is. And I'm not privy enough to know which direction that George is going to go to be able to guess which way that they'll go on the announcement. But it could any time between now and the end of the month. That's pretty common. If you feel like it might help your recruiting one.
Yesterday, there was a report from CBS Sports that the Tampa Bay Bucs would like to talk to Nick Saban and Kirby Smart about their vacant head coaching opening. I don't take that very seriously right now, Chip, in terms of Kirby. I think he's too new into his Georgia tenure. I think he loves recruiting. I think he likes the college game. But if you want to sort of fast forward your mind in the future a little bit, do you think that Kirby Smart could one day have NFL aspirations? He seems like a college coach to me and the kind of guy that would like to do it for 30 years, but obviously the NFL is the highest level at which the sport can be played. Do you picture Kirby Smart one day wanting to try his defense and his ideas there at the NFL level?
Yeah, I don't. I share your sentiment there. I'm a little bit incredulous about the reports right now. You never know where these come from, whether it's just someone, you know, inside the Bucs organization saying they'd like to talk to Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. And, you know, you and I could also say, you know, we'd like to talk to, George Bush about, coming as manager of our outfit. You know, I mean, it's like anybody can say anything. A lot of times these things are agent planted, and both Nick Saban and Kirby Smart's agent is Jimmy Sexton, who might be the king of leverage. I take it with a considerable amount of skepticism. That said, I could see it happening for Kirby Smart at some point. But as far as Georgia right now, you know, we're in year three. In year four, and you know, he's a very determined and focused individual on completing a task, and that task at Georgia's to win a national championship. Last time I checked, it hadn't happened. The NFL and college jobs, elite college jobs, Power Five jobs, there's not that much separation anymore. I mean, there is the competitive side of it where, you know, you want to compete at the highest level and all that, and certainly the recruiting aspect. It would be easy for me when you see how many hours these guys put in on recruiting and how much it takes and how much you're dependent on the whims of a 17-year-old that I could see how I would favor that in the NFL game where, not having to deal with all that drama. But, last time I checked, Kirby seems to really enjoy the whole recruiting aspect. You know, I mean, he's got the energy to handle it. You better have the energy on his staff or you're not going to stay around long. And he's still trying to complete a task at Georgia, and that task is not completed. You're really, really close, and I see him, you know, wanting to get through with that first before looking anywhere else.
Hey, Chip, I really appreciate the extra time today. Thanks for touching on all these issues for us. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com in the days ahead as well. And, of course, we'll enjoy speaking to you again here on Dog Nation Daily very soon. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you later on.
Till next time.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Chip Towers. A lot of bases to cover with him today, and I really am glad we got a chance to do that. And I think his perspective on stuff like this can be really interesting, so I'm glad he did that. Let me also do this before we get ready to kind of touch on the SEC stuff, including an SEC team in the national championship game tonight. I mentioned Pella Window and Door a little earlier. They've got a great offer out there right now. I want to make sure you hear about this. Of course, you know what Pella Window and Door is. They're that locally owned company, also backed by a national brand. That means when you need, upgrades to your windows and doors, Pella's going to take really good care of you. And right now, an incredible offer. You can get 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 60 months. That's valid through February 7th. I wanted to make sure you knew about this because you need to act right now to take advantage of this. Go to their website, either PellaSoutheast.us. Website, once again, PellaSoutheast.us. Or give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. Check them out. You'll find out why, and they'll get your house looking very good here for the new year. All right, couple things as we kind of transition to our SEC through here for a moment. It is Alabama-Clemson tonight, college football playoff national championship game. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not that jazzed about this tonight. I was joking with our buddy Connor Riley earlier in the week. I'm going to give this game to about 11:30 tonight. If this thing ain't solved by 11:30, I'm going to bed. I don't care who wins. That's just the overall attitude I'm going to take on this. I'm just not that jazzed about it because, obviously, after George was there a year ago, it's certainly a big downgrade not see the dogs involved in this game tonight. There is, however, a point I do want to make here really quickly. And this is one of those things that for some people, maybe outside the bubble of Dog Nation, maybe even for some Georgia fans, there's a hear me now, believe me later aspect to this. I do think all the attention that Alabama and Clemson are getting in a roundabout way could end up being pretty good for Georgia because there is this belief among the national media, the same people who've, kind of put forth a lot of erroneous narratives as of late. There is a belief that the gap between Alabama and Clemson is just really, really great now. It's a chasm in comparison to the rest of the college football. So much so that one of the sports books out there has a bet for next year in the national championship, you can take Alabama, you can take Clemson, or you can take the field, meaning every other team in college football. As it stands right now, the field is the favorite, but not by a wide margin. So essentially what the betting public seems to be saying right now is, between either Alabama or Clemson and the rest of college football, the chances of someone else other than these two winning the title is just not overall that great, which I kind of laugh at and scoff at. Sportsline, which is a website owned by CBS Sports, did one of these simulations where they, you know, thousands and thousands of time of playing, you know, Alabama and Clemson against, you know, other, you know, top flight programs, Georgia included. And what, you know, what Sportsline determined, now you can decide for yourself if this matters or not, but what Sportsline determined is if you played Georgia Clemson in a computer on paper thousands and thousands of times, as it stands right now, Clemson's about a field goal better. So you have a team in Georgia that was really within an eyelash of, you know, beating Alabama 2 years in a row, and according to the computers, in that same vein against Clemson right now, essentially being told that for next year they have no chance winning the national championship. I wish I could provide you something better than that on this Monday, but as narratives go, I'll take that, right? I mean, I think Georgia fans know that deep down, no matter how bad the Sugar Bowl was and no matter how frustrating it's been to be kind of on the outside looking in of the real elite conversation this playoff season, not getting every recruit you had wanted to get, the future's still in pretty good hands at Georgia. And so if we're going to get ready for an offseason of it's Alabama and Clemson and nobody else really matters, I think there's a lot of Georgia players, including the one we talked about at the top of the program, J.R. Reed, coming back to be a real leader here in 2019. I think they'll really make it their mission to go out and prove the country wrong there in that regard, so I don't mind that at all. A couple other stories I want to get to here. We're going to have a lot of these kinds of deals over the next few days. Derrick Brown, the outstanding defensive lineman from Auburn, one of the ones that got away from Georgia out of Lanier High School for the class of 2016, is returning for his senior year at Auburn. Now, I think this has, for the most part, been treated as a pretty surprising piece of news. Brown coming back was not necessarily the expectation here. What it goes to show you is, I think, for as much turmoil as Auburn has dealt with, man, it is really hard to put the final nail in that coffin. Because Brown coming back, I think, makes that defense, especially up front, makes them potentially formidable here. I'm not saying it makes them a top 10 team or anything like that. But if you've got a center of your defense, at the tip of the spear of your defense is a guy like Derrick Brown there in the middle, you're at least not a pushover. That's probably a top 25 team again next season, even if we're not quite sure who the quarterback's going to be as of yet. A couple more coaching rumors I want to get to. There was a report out there that Wesley McGriff, former Ole Miss defensive coordinator, a guy that some rumor mills had maybe in line to talk to Georgia about, like, say, a defensive back coaching job or something like that, depending on who Georgia hired as its defensive coordinator. Looks like McGriff could be going to Florida State. So if you had the possibility of McGriff coming to Georgia as an assistant coach, probably not defensive coordinator because Ole Miss's defense was horrible, but as a defensive backs coach, something like that, looks like some reports may be upending that idea. If these reports are correct, McGriff's going to end up at Florida State, so we'll watch that. And also, there was a really interesting report at AL.com over the weekend about Brent Key, the Alabama offensive line coach. According to Key's own words, and for like national championships, all the assistant coaches have to talk to the media, so that's an unusual thing for Alabama and for Georgia too, for that matter. But Key did have to talk to the media, and according to Key, he said, and he was very careful with his language here, but he says he's had no contact with Georgia Tech, and he's not accepted a job at Georgia Tech. You may remember we talked on Dog Nation Daily a few days ago about the reports that are out there, I guess the AJC leading the way on this, that Key is leaving Alabama to become what I'm assuming is going to be kind of a co-offensive line coach, offensive coordinator type role at Georgia Tech. I don't think Key saying this to AL.com means that's not happening. But as of right now, he's trying to put forth a narrative of, oh, no, my attention's right here in Alabama. I'm not thinking about my next job at all. The other part of this, and I'll squeeze this in really quickly, I'm the kind of guy that goes to the comment section on articles, just, I guess, because I have a death wish or something like that. A lot of the comments about Key in AL.com were like, good riddance. They were acting like they didn't mind seeing Key leave. Now, I don't know if this is just fans, you know, kind of readjusting their expectations once it looks like a guy might be leaving or what. But in terms of trying hard to hold on to Key, there were a lot of Alabama fans, at least in this comment section, that didn't seem to want to feel that way. So do with that what you will, and we'll make that your SEC through. Now, We are late in the program to be getting into some really good news for Georgia, but here on Dog Nation Daily, I want to make sure that we do that on the recruiting trail. The Dogs got some this weekend. Before that, though, I do want to let you know something really cool about our friends at Kroger. They've now partnered with Instacart, which means you can get groceries delivered in as little as 1 hour right there to your door, and who wouldn't want that? 1 hour delivery, courtesy of Instacart there at Kroger. So make sure you go to delivery.kroger.com. That's delivery.kroger.com and find out more about how you can get involved with the Instacart delivery there from Kroger. The only thing that could possibly make Kroger better is having those the convenience of having it delivered right there to your door. And now with Instacart, that is possible. So really cool stuff from Kroger. Check out delivery.kroger.com for more on that. All right, so Georgia gets itself a good one on Saturday. We were here live as a part of a, speaking of Kroger, special Before the Hedges broadcast, as Tyreek Stevenson from San Antonio let the world know that he's wanting to be a part of Georgia's 2019 class. And Georgia is getting itself a good one. Jeff Sintel, who's on hand with Stevenson in San Antonio, joined us by phone there from the Alamo Dome to kind of go into a little bit more detail about the process, how it was that Georgia won this battle, and what Georgia might be getting in Stevenson. Here's a little bit of Jeff Sintel on the man of the hour, Tyreek Stevenson, the most recent UGA commit.
The timeline for Stevenson is he will go home, he will pack, he will move to Georgia, and he will be in class on Tuesday. And again, now you have a top five corner. He's rated the number 38th prospect in the country. That makes him the sixth player inside the top 40 that the Bulldogs have signed already in this class.
Yeah, so listen, you got to, I mean, take that very seriously. That kind of prospect, top 38 player in the country, incredible addition for Georgia there. And Jeff talked a little bit more about the process of how Stevenson came to be a Dog. Here's more from Jeff.
Stevenson's been feeling some type of way about Georgia for a long time. But then there was the hometown pull from Miami as well. But in the end, it was almost like Georgia had no negatives. And what Georgia has done over the last few years, Dre Baker and others, they've established a pattern that a South Florida defensive back can come to Athens and make a very big name for himself.
Yeah, I love that from Jeff there. And I think it's a very interesting window in how the recruiting process works. I love it when he says Georgia just had no negatives. I mean, ultimately, the decision-making prospect in life is not about who you choose. It's who you eliminate from being chosen. And Georgia, what it does is it sets itself up for a scenario where it's very hard to eliminate Georgia. I love Jeff's story on the the show on Saturday. He talked about how emotional Stevenson's mom was about that choice. Clearly, Georgia has made a big impact on her, made a big impact on Stevenson at the so-called scavenger hunt from back early in the summer. The reveal there that day, also in the summer, when Stevenson almost committed there on the spot. Georgia has done a really good job of establishing a long-range relationship with Stevenson, and now it's in a position to reap those rewards. I think Stevenson, as Jeff kind of alluded to, a DeAndre Baker, when you look for future next DeAndre Bakers at Georgia, a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, from generally speaking the same part of the world, could certainly have a big chance to do that. Really fun stuff. Let me also say this, that around here, we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters, and I'm happy to know it's been an even 800 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. I love watching that number climb, and I love seeing you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.